Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the name of our risen and ascended Lord.
Amen.
Our text is the lesson just read, and I'd like to underscore these words. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring welling up to eternal life. I've noted such enthusiasm in the Greek students this summer for the New Testament language that some ask if the lessons couldn't be read in Greek. To satisfy that longing, I'll just mention the beautiful play on water here and the spring of water, pege hudotus. What a beautiful text. And yet I'd like to submit that whether you're a Greek student, a deaconess student, a member of the CITI, or simply a good guest, this text is not easily mined by us in Indiana. You see, for us, there is water in abundance, isn't there? Last week, torrential downpours came day after day, the back campus filled up, and so the very thought that Jesus plays on here, the beauty, the saving wonder of water, can easily be lost on us. In fact, I wonder if someone were to ask you to recall, when were you last really thirsty? Not just for the moment, but really in need of water. Can you remember any time in your life when all you wanted, absolutely your first desire, was to have a glass of water? And at that time, you would have paid $5, $10, $20. You were so thirsty that you longed for water. I can only recall one time when I had such a thirst. It happened in 1985 when I was digging at Capernaum in Galilee. And three of us decided after the day's dig to hike back to Tiberias because we wanted to see what it was like to walk the way that Jesus undoubtedly walked when he was headquartered in Capernaum. Well, things started out very enjoyably. It was a very hot day, about 104 degrees, and a desert wind blowing out of the east. But two of us had remembered to bring canteens. The third, I still recall his name, Lester, had overlooked that point. And so as we hiked and hiked, we let him drink our water, and about two-thirds of the way we ran out. And we were becoming significantly thirsty when we made an even worse mistake. We decided to take a shortcut over the hill. Well, we got disoriented and lost. And I still remember the desert heat kind of coming up and the feeling that maybe this was more than just a casual problem. And what really sticks in my mind is the way in which, after a while, if we would get up and walk, even that little exertion would cause this thumping in your head, and you long to have something to drink. And for the first time, the biblical images of water equaling life came into vivid focus. Well, God was merciful, and an Israeli patrol stumbled across us, and we drank lavishly of their supplies. But given that environment, the environment of Israel, where water was life itself, we're not surprised by the way our Lord develops this episode with the woman. This very well, I might add, is one of the securest archaeological finds. It was uncovered in 1935, and as the woman said, it was very deep. They uncovered the debris, and it went down 132 feet, all so that there might be water for the thirsty. Well, what is this water, this fountain of water? Because I'd like to submit to you that while we can't remember a time when we were really thirsty, or that it's a very rare remembrance, that we, along with our culture, are dry and parched deserts. By our birth, by our life, you and I have souls that are dry as a bone. They have in themselves no life. It's that sort of self-absorption that consumes so many today. And there can be floods of possessions. People can have everything, and their souls can be as dry as the desert sand. And their life, though they think it's busy and filled, is stark. And there's no vitality at the core. And you and I know about that sort of dryness, don't we? When we turn in upon ourselves, our life is squeezed out of us. It's the way Israel acted toward God when Jeremiah spoke to them and he said, "My people have forsaken me, the spring of living water." It's the water that Zechariah promised to the penitent when he said, "On that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem." So how thirsty are you? I hope that you are thirstier than a pilgrim in the desert. Thirsty for the water that Jesus bestows daily and lavishly in his forgiveness, in his presence, in the floods of baptismal water that united you with his crucifixion, and the water that flowed from his side purifies you. It waters the desert of your life and causes it to be a garden of Eden. The plants that grow there are righteousness and innocence, integrity and truth. And how the church needs those wonderful waters. How easily our shallow efforts at piety turn out to be just more dry dirt. Doesn't work. There's only one place where the water is pure, and it's abundant, and it's free to each and every one of us. And that's the water that Jesus bestowed on this sinful woman and upon you and upon me. If the church, or if you and I, ever moves far from that penitential dryness, we are in serious disorientation. We daily are to come with penitent, longing souls, longing for the pure grace and mercy of God in Christ. It's God's presence in Christ that is the water that sparkles, and it gushes forth from the bosom of the Father to sprinkle us and make us pure and holy. And that washing by God's grace is going to renew and restore us daily. And then, whatever our calling, we are called to go forth to a dying world that is literally without that water, and hold up Christ, announcing there is only one fountain, only one well, where there can be living waters drawn in abundance for all. And that's the wonderful thing. You know, the text underscores this woman was, by human standards, a real sinner. And you and I know that we are real sinners. But Jesus offers her and us such lavish floods of water that there's not a dry spot in your soul or mine. Every sin is gone. Everything now beats with the love of the Father and with the presence of His Spirit. May the Lord give you such thirst day after day, and may He flood you with Christ in His holy means of grace, holy baptism, holy supper, holy word. Let the Lord give you life until we with Him live eternally in the bosom of the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.